Welcome back to Hoot and a Half, and today we are joined with the lovely and adorable Claudia Salewski.
Oh, you guys. I'm so excited to be here. I haven't seen you in so long, so I came here to hang.
So, for the people who don't know, Claudia, you are an incredible YouTuber and now actress and entrepreneur. You wear so many hats and you've had so much success lately. And we've been friends now for how many years?
Two or three years.
And we first met when we had to host this event for MTV, this Snow Globe Festival.
In Lake Tahoe.
Mm-hmm. And we had never met before this hosting gig.
Correct.
And it was so funny because Mike told me, you know, we booked this gig. You're going to be hosting with this girl, Claudia Salewski.
Well, we didn't know the last name, how to pronounce it.
You're like, Claudia Salewski.
And we had to do these Instagram promos of me sitting on my fireplace.
Before the event. I'd be like, I'm going to be hosting. Like, you had to say each other's names.
I had the easy job.
And usually I have no problem with, you know, having an ad read and saying it and getting it all out. But every time I got to Claudia Salewski, I would just curse to the gods. Like, who is this girl? Why does she have this name?
And then we like Googled how to pronounce her last name. And we were like, we hope this girl's cool. Like, this seems good. It's going to be a really intense thing. Like, we can't even say her name right. This is going to be a disaster.
Mm-hmm. And then we showed up to Tahoe. We met you in the lobby. And we just got along instantly. You were so cool and so calm and so easy to work with. Because it was my first like hosting gig. You had a lot of experience with it. But it was like, you're like a good improv partner for that. Like, the goal wasn't to always be funny, but you really knew how to like yes and me and keep me in check. And it was a really great time.
Well, I think it was such an immersive experience for us because as co-hosts, because we were like interviewing kind of like artists, but then also just like festival goers.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So like people that are used to it and people that are not used to it. And I just like, I mean, I don't even remember what we talked about, but I just remember wearing like neon tutus and like sparkly shit that was glowing with you.
Oh yeah. They dressed us and up just, as like total like snow ravers.
Yeah. That was the vibe. And we were like interviewing people that had other crazy outfits and
it was so tough though too because I was so tall. I'm wearing earmuffs. Claudia's like on eye level with all these people. She can hear what's going on and I'm just like, huh? Claudia, what did they say? And so I'm just like,
Oh my God, I totally agree. Way more credit. You killed it. Oh, you did so
thank
good.
You. Thank
I was
you.
I was like, I'm in good hands.
We even did
I'm
a sleigh hands. Ride one time.
Why don't I remember this?
We did a sleigh ride where we were like
on the
like
back
a,
of like a like
it was
a,
like a horse carriage sleigh.
And you guys were like being interviewed, like hosting the show on the back of like a horse carriage.
And I was saying some ridiculous stuff because I was just vamping. I'm like, over the river and through the hills to not grandmother's house we go, but to the Snow Globe Festival. And the guy was like, cut, Matt. We cannot have you saying that.
Wow. This is like all the memories are flooding back in. We really worked it. Like we had to do a lot.
We interviewed G-Eazy.
We did.
And I was like, yeah, man.
That was a little...
I was like, tough. I was like, it's so cold out there. We're like, how are you staying warm? He's like, I mean, I'm just in this tent right now. And I'm like, and I go, well, my toes feel like frozen tater tots. And he goes, yeah, tots. It's a good snack. But so interviewing people on the fly like that was nothing new to you, but it was new for me because back like in 2015, you were like Teen Vogue's first red carpet YouTube interviewer.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, did that come really easy to you at first? Or did you have like any embarrassing moments trying to get people's attention and talking to them on the fly?
God. Okay, great question. So when I first moved out to Los Angeles, that was like 2014, I was 18 years old. And I forgot how that opportunity came to be. I started doing random things with like Awesomeness TV that felt very hosty. And so I think Teen Vogue saw that. And I became like their first ever... And dare I say last ever? I don't know. Oh my gosh. I haven't kept up with their YouTube channel, but I became like their YouTube host. And it was cool because there were kind of different tasks at hand. Like I had to create original content for them. I would also film content with them in New York. And then also the hosting part, which was like the part that I should have been most nervous about, but for some reason, like, I think it's like when you're put in a situation where you're like, I can't believe I'm in this situation. I can't believe they trust me. You just like your adrenaline kicks in, right?
Yeah.
And you just go into this whole different sort of like autopilot. And so my experience doing that was like, hey, here's a microphone. Here's a camera guy. You're going to go to this event and just you know, Uber, so you don't have to worry about parking. Just get to the event, and you'll find, you know, David there, and he'll give you the microphone. And these are all the questions that you should ask these specific people. And they would just be like, okay, now go. It, like, that's it. And so I'd show up, and, like, I would make these little, like, I would do, like, a lock screen cheat sheet where I'd have, like, the celebrity's or artist's name.
Oh, on the lock screen.
Like, and then, like, a little, like, hint to what I'm supposed to be asking them if it's, like, a current project or, like,
really smart.
Whatever. And so I just check my lock screen. But, like, guys, I was out there. I was, like, doing the polling and being like, hey.
Debbie Ryan.
But, like, luckily everyone would see, like, the little Teen Vogue logo, so I didn't have to work too hard.
Oh, yeah. People would see that and be like, we're stopping here.
Yeah, like, non-intimidating, cute young girl. With Teen Vogue, great, I'll go. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was kind of like a pity thing, I don't know. But they showed up, you know, they let me ask them some questions. I think, like, the most the most nerve-wracking were, like, the one-offs where it'd be like, you're gonna get ready with this person for an awards show, or you're gonna go to their house while they're getting ready. So there was, like, a lot of, like, that where I would just spend an entire day with someone I don't know.
Oh, like, real and journalism.
Then, yeah, but then, like, just vlog it, but then also have a set of questions. There was a little bit, like, just too much freedom for me to, like, fuck up. Do you know what I mean? But it was fun, and I feel like it really... it gave me that confidence in knowing, like, okay, I can do this thing. Like, if I ever need to do it, like, I have the experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and now you have that experience under your belt, and now you're moving on to bigger and better things. Now, you have been acting for, like, the past few years, but you just...
oh, my
booked
gosh.
Your first big, big movie.
You guys, yeah.
I Love My Dad, right?
Yeah.
And
Co-starring Patton Oswalt. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And you were filming in Syracuse for the past how many weeks?
It was 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
And it happened really last minute, right? When you booked
it? You guys,
it?
Oh, my God. I found out I got it the day before I had to leave.
The day before you had to leave,
yes.
You found out you got it?
Yes. I got a call from the director, who also stars in it, Jason Morosini, and wrote it. And he called me on my cell phone, and he was like... can you do this next week? Would you be available? And I was like, for what? For who?
Yeah, Brie Larson's on set. Brie Larson's on set right now, and she's just not working out.
Just not
we need the next
out.
Best thing. Claudia, can you come?
I so did not believe that it was happening. My like instinct was just to be like, is everything okay? And I also was like, for the same role? Like, I thought maybe I was getting like a smaller part or something. He's like, yeah, for the same role. Just let me know. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to call my team, see if I could, like, shift some things around because, you know, brand deals, things like that. And then, like, an hour later, my agents texted me and they were like, pack your shit.
Ooh.
And I had to leave at, like, 10 a.m. the next morning.
To go to Syracuse
for 6 weeks.
And now, I know that you kind of mentioned, like, a bit of the plot of the movie, but we're not going to have any spoilers. But it's basically about a dad who's had an estranged relationship with his son.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to connect with him.
Just be a part of his life again.
And so he decides to set up a fake social media account to interact with him. And he uses your identity to talk to him.
Yeah.
How long before you got the part did you audition? And did you audition for that specific part?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it's funny now because since COVID, it's only been like self-tapes. And I used to always prefer going into the room because you can like suss out the vibe and like get actual like feedback in the room and get to redo it. And when you're self-taping, like you have one shot. Or I guess technically 100 if you want to do 100 times, but you only have one to send in and you have no idea if that's like what they were expecting. So when Phineas and I first started self-taping together, it was a disaster because, you know, I'd want to do it a few times or I'd stop in the middle of a take. I was like, no, I already know and I don't like this. And, you know, we'd bump some heads, but now it actually like works out in my favor because every time we go to like film a self-tape, which happens often, right? I kind of know going into it, I have like 3 shots, like maybe like 5 times.
It becomes
to do
like
it.
A real audition in the room.
Yeah, exactly. So now like my whole attitude about it is like, all right, really got to prepare the shit out of this and just kind of do it. And it's great though, because it doesn't, then you're not torturing yourself and like doing it a million times.
Spending 10 hours for like a 1 minute clip.
Yeah. So like for the first self tape for I Love My Dad, we were on vacation in Santa Barbara or Montecito and we like very quickly filmed it in this little girl's bedroom because we were staying at like a friend's house And I just, we filmed it real quick and then went off to the pool and didn't think about it. And then like a week later, I got a call back and then like a session with the director and the casting and the producers and then like another one. And yeah.
Wow. And yeah. You really enjoyed working with like Patton Oswalt and James.
Yeah. You know what I'll say is like, it's crazy kind of the timing of it all because for starters, coming out of a pandemic, I think everyone felt this sort of lack of like, I mean, I guess like being in a relationship, it's really easy to first of all become kind of like codependent when you're with that person every single day. And then for me, like my job, like, you know, it's very solitary. Like I'm making videos at home. And if I didn't have to go out and shoot something, then I didn't need to as much as Phineas's job would require to do so. You know what I mean? And so in many ways, like my life slowed down and I sort of lost that feeling of like independence in like that sexy way where you're just like, yeah, I'm a fucking individual, you know? And so the timing of it was pretty awesome because I think like it was so nice to kind of have this large chunk of time to just like go be in a new place with strangers and like remember what it feels like to meet new people.
Yeah.
Cause you know, like different people like unlock different versions of yourself and you're like, oh my God, I'm funny. Oh my God, I'm pretty fucking funny. Yeah. You know, like, for a second I was like, oh my God, you know so much about this. But then again, you gave Phineas and I a book of like all the different types of architecture.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The architecture of like American homes. Cause you guys have that like Spanish
colonial.
Spanish colonial. Yes.
With
yes,
all the, yes. All the doorways are like arched in between the interior of the house.
On the inside. Yeah. And then like the exposed beams. Like,
yes.
That whole vibe.
I know. Yeah. I like geeked out about your house. And so I was like, you need to have like the Bible of like architecture for American homes.
I remember you were like, all right, your guys' house is on page 123. There you go. what's like the dream like house you'd want to live in? What style?
Oh, craftsman home. Craftsman home completely.
They're cute.
You know, like,
can you describe what that is?
Have you ever seen the movie Disturbia with Shia LaBeouf?
Throwback.
Oh, I'm thinking of the Rihanna song.
Or a lot of like movies, like our film, like the movie Zathura. I'm like giving the worst examples, but I love those craftsman style homes. I just think it like has a really good atmosphere and just like the dynamic. It's kind of choppy, but it's just like true and rich with wood.
A lot of wood on the inside, like dark wood.
Yeah, it's very timeless. And I think and a lot of people are now like gutting out their craftsman homes and making them super modern and white. I'm like, no, keep it real.
Keep
that would be my dream home.
What about you, Mike?
I don't know anything about this stuff. I just like having a roof over my head.
Do you like a modern house? Do you like it?
I don't really have like, I'm
Mike's like give me a house.
Yeah.
So, Claudia, you are from Chicago.
Yes.
Your parents are from Poland.
Yes.
They're immigrants.
Yes.
I'm very curious about like what your read or take is on growing up with immigrant parents, being in America. Do you think it gave you a different perspective on things? Then again, it's kind of your only perspective you do have. But just, I don't know, kind of being like a cultural translator between what your parents are experiencing and what you're experiencing. How is that?
100%. And what's funny is like when you're a child and you're going through your childhood, like you're not really aware of it because what your situation and environment is all that you know. And then the older I get, the more I appreciate, you know, what my parents did for us and sort of, you know, my family and upraising, because you realize, oh my gosh, so much of this is why I am this way, right? So when I was younger, I have a lot of friends that like have also experienced this, but there was like this, embarrassingly, there was this side of me when I was super young where I would see some of my friends that just had parents that grew up in America and didn't have accents and had, you know, similar humor to their kids. And I would kind of like wish for this like American family that doesn't fight and there's no drama and like goes on cool vacations or whatever. And I like kind of wished for that. And I can't believe I even thought that, because what my parents did was so like selfless for us, because they wanted to make that move for us. And they moved out to America in their early 20s with my oldest brother, Marcin. And then Kevin and I were born in Chicago. And
you
they
have a
came
brother,
out.
Kevin?
Yes.
Me too.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wait, have we talked about this?
I don't think so.
What is happening? Oh my God. How old is Kevin? Oh my God. Oh my God. Should we connect the Kevins? Yeah, should we link them together? Kevin squared? Shit. And anyways, and so they came out to America with only knowing the words like yes, no, and thank you.
Wow.
You know, and my dad like built a construction business from the ground up. He's like a business owner.
He built it from the ground up,
literally. And my mom worked extremely hard in her like youngest years before we all popped out. And then she was like, all right, I am managing all of you guys. But I think what that did was it sort of just gave me this different perspective of like, I'm so grateful that my life is here. Like I could have had a life in Poland. You know what I mean? I've still never visited Poland. So it's so embarrassing that I haven't gone yet.
I got to go back to the motherland.
Do you feel like Polish as a part
of your identity?
Do you think Polish? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I've been trying to think Polish actually lately because no one speaks Polish out here. And so my speaking skills and speaking abilities are worsening.
Oh yeah.
But you speak Polish fluently?
Fluently. It was my first language.
Give us something. Teach us just a simple phrase.
Let's see. I love you is kocham cię.
Kocham cię.
Kocham cię.
Kocham cię.
Uh-huh. I mean, what do you guys want to know?
What's fuck you?
Yachi kurwam. I'm gonna fuck you.
Yachi kurwam.
Kurwam.
Yachi kurwam.
Yachi kurwam.
Whoa. Is that that's like the go-to curse? What's like the go-to swear word?
Well, fuck is kurwa. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's it. And sometimes I will just say a Polish word. One time I was lighting a fireplace, a fire something, and the gas was going on for too much, and then it kind of blew up in my face, and I was like, kurwa! And my friend Neely was like, whoa, what? What was that? And I was like, I don't know. It just came out. So sometimes that happens, but the other day I was on a walk with my dog and I was on the phone with my mom for an hour, and I was like, let's only speak Polish for this entire conversation because I need to.
Yeah.
And it's so sad how little we talked about, because the whole conversation was so I got this bigger dresser and how do you say nightstand? Yeah. And I want to get matching nightstands that are kind of similar. I was like, oh my God, this is my mom's having a conversation with a fifth grader right now. Yeah.
But that's good to commit to it.
You gotta do it. Exactly.
Get back into it. You should.
I know. I need to get back into it and I really want to visit Poland. But I think back to your original question, I think what it did was this sort of drive that I've always felt inside of me from a really young age to, I don't know, just work as hard as I can. I think that came from just knowing the opportunity I had and sort of the opportunity that my parents feel like they didn't have when they were younger. In very many ways, you know, my parents kind of lived the American dream in terms of moving to America and living in a beautiful home and having healthy children and all this stuff and getting to travel. And then it's just sort of I don't know, wanting to make them proud and be just hoping that that move was worth it for them because they uprooted their entire lives. You know, so much of my family I've never even met.
Yeah.
Because they're still in Poland. And so, and then just watching my dad work so, so hard, that always just, I think I get a lot of that same DNA, but also just watching him work so hard just made me want to work extra hard so that he doesn't have to when he's older, you know?
Mm. Hope you're enjoying this conversation. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor.
You guys may have heard us talk about Hims. They're basically a brand that is helping guys look and feel their best. And if you haven't, now we're going to tell you about them.
66% of men start to lose hair by age 35.
And once you've noticed your thinning hair, it can be a little too late.
The best way to prevent more hair loss is to do something about it when you still have some. Why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when you can turn to medicine and science?
So the solution is for Hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, sexual wellness, and skincare for men. It's time to write a new chapter and one in which you have hair.
Thanks to science, baldness can now be optional.
There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. These are prescription solutions that are backed by science. No more awkward doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. 4Hims connects you to a licensed medical professional online, which can save you hours. And they're completely confidential and discreet.
You answer a few quick questions questions, which a medical professional will review. And if it's right for you, can prescribe medication to be shipped directly to your door.
And now today, Hims is giving you, our viewer, our listener, a very, very special offer. Their best one yet. If you're not happy with your results after 90 days, 4Hims will give you a full refund.
And right now, our listeners can get their first visit absolutely free. Go to 4Hims.com/hoot. That's FORHIMS.com/hoot. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate.
Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
And remember, that's 4Hims.com/hoot.
And now back to the episode.
Now, how would young Claudia think about all of this, what you're up to now? Would she be like, I'm sorry, we were supposed to be a ballerina? Like, what did little Claudia envision for Claudia?
Oh, guys, we went through some phases. Okay, when I got braces in fourth grade, which, by the way, I've had braces 3 times.
Oh, my.
And then also Invisalign. And before that, what is the thing where you put the key
spacer?
And then you... Yes. So I've been through the thick of it with my teeth. But through all that, because our orthodontist like convinced my parents that I needed braces before all of my adult teeth came in. So I had braces on my baby teeth.
That sounds like a scam.
Braces on a baby teeth.
Scam. They're all going to fall out anyway.
Thousands of dollars. Gone. Scam. So because of that, I've had braces literally three times. Wait, was it 20? I don't even know, you guys. It's, oh my gosh. Yeah. But I wanted to be an orthodontist for a really long time because
you're like,
of that.
I never want anybody to go through this of what I'm experiencing.
Well, I was like colorful rubber bands, making molds. Like, I just thought, I don't know. I thought it was fascinating. So I wanted to be an orthodontist for a while. But I think my main goal when I was younger was being a triple threat, which is so ambitious and hilarious because I can't sing. I can't dance. But I'm trying to achieve the other ones. So like, you know, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
But I, you know, what's funny is like, I started YouTube when I was 13. So I was like in seventh grade. And I remember like, you know, it hadn't turned into a career for anyone yet. 'Cause YouTube was so small and budding. And it was like, honestly, kind of weird to do. Like, I kept it a secret from my parents for as long as I could, which like maybe is not like, I like don't want my child to do that. You know, my parents found it by accident on my computer. And then I didn't tell all of my best friends until like a year later. And then all the boys found out like 2 years later. And that was like humiliating.
You don't even know.
I remember the day it's burned in my head when like the popular girls from like the rival middle school like told our guy friends in our middle school, and it was like the day before Christmas break. And I remember this moment where, like, you know, on that last day, every classroom just kind of watches movies because the teachers are like, all right, we're gonna watch Elf. And then you go to the next class and they're like, we're gonna watch Elf too. And you're like, oh my god, I love it. I just remember like sitting and then like all the guys being like, crunches, eyeliner, what is she doing?
Because they were gonna put on your videos front of the class.
So it wasn't like this cool thing, but what's interesting is I feel like there was this conscious decision of like, I want to take this so serious from the beginning. Like, from the day that I started YouTube until now, the editing, the lighting, the setting up, everything, like, I've always just been really careful and just really intentional, like, with my content, because I think I like sort of kind of knew that something, I don't know, I just like,
if you're going to do something, do it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Put the effort in.
And then by the time I like hit sophomore year, I kind of like college was just not even in my brain. Like, all my friends started researching what colleges they want to go to and like touring places. And they're like, what about you? And I'm like, I'm not going to college, which is crazy to think about that I had that mentality right away. But I was like, no, I don't think no. And then junior year, I missed like almost the first whole month of school because I was in New York for Fashion Week, like doing random jobs, and then came back and no teacher gave a shit how behind I was. And like math, you're learning things every single day. And so I created a PowerPoint presentation for my parents, mainly my father.
Pulled a little Emma Stone.
I did. I did. And I presented them with a slideshow of the reasons why I should transfer to online schooling so that I have more time to travel and work on school at home instead of spending 7 hours in a classroom every single day.
Because immigrant parents also, education is like the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. You need to do well in school, get good grades, and then you can do whatever you want. But you're saying... junior of high school, you put on a presentation?
Yeah. And that's like the most important year. Isn't junior like the hardest year?
That's when you take your SATs.
That's when you take your SATs. That's when you like apply for colleges.
So what happened?
I presented this to them and I
thought you were going to be an orthodontist.
What happened to that? Exactly. You know, what's funny is like for the most part, I look back and I'm like, my parents were so supportive. And it's so true. They've always been so supportive. But I think... there was no part of me that was ever going to allow them to not be supportive of it because I was so confident in it and so determined that I was like, it was more so the presentation was not, can I do this? It was, here's the reasons why I'm doing this, which is unbelievable. The audacity. Mm-hmm.
Did it work? Did they approved?
Yeah.
Wow.
That same week, I went into my counselor's office and I was like, here's what's happening. Do you guys have an online program? And she was like, no. And I was like, well, I'm going to go find a high school that has an online program.
See ya.
And I found one. And then, I transferred over to an online school that was... super easy. And then listen, I graduated. It's fine.
Wow.
And then I think from there it was sort of like, all right, we need to really make sure this works, obviously. And so I think every single decision I've made, I'm so grateful that my parents like gave me the okay because oh my gosh, like the move to California and the transferring of schools and stuff, like it I think it allowed me to really take this as seriously as I wanted to, you know, and now we're having fun and I could cry because I like just feel so grateful.
It took some guts. It took some trust in the universe and look where it's gotten you.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's like this like blinded determination because it's like, wow, like why did I think that this would work? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it was still so like foreign to everyone and so new, but... I don't know.
It's funny how it works out.
How like your instinct can just be like, no, this is it. Yeah. You're doing this. And you're like, okay, sorry, mom, sorry, dad. You know?
Are they proud of you, what you're doing now?
Oh, yeah. They're so happy and proud. They love hearing about it and everything. It's still all very like confusing a little bit. Like my mom just being like, why haven't like, you know, she's the amount of like auditions you have to do until you get one. She's like, why haven't you gotten a job yet? You know, before I booked this one, I was like, mom, you don't understand. Okay. This is the climate of this. And this is how many people.
It's everyone in the entire city is trying to get it.
She's like, why are you not a movie star yet? I'm like, mom. I'm trying my best.
Wow. I had no idea. That's an incredible story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you writing a book?
You probably are. No, I'm not. I don't know. I feel like my biggest insecurity is how little I read. Like I keep telling myself, I know you're a reader.
Oh yeah.
So I'm being careful of what I'm saying because I don't want to be judged over here.
Okay. You'll find a book and it will hook you in.
You know what I think the issue is that when I, because you know how like everyone becomes interested at their own time, like at their, like it's like school forces you to write book reviews and stuff. And so, or book reports. So you have to read all of these books, but then like there's a point where you're, in your life where you're like, oh my God, this is fun. Cause now I'm reading the right material. And I feel like, when I became interested at my own time, which was once I moved out to LA, I got sucked into just reading like nonfiction, like self-help books. And
see,
like,
that's what I struggle with is those. I'm just like, take me to the summary. What are the guideposts? Yeah. And like that. Yeah. I get caught up in plots and stuff.
The issue is like, you know, some of those books, like I really do feel like they're worth reading because it just teaches you really basic principles of like, I don't know, just being like a caring human being and like remembering people's names and like all these different things that or like making sure like eye contact, whatever it is. And the issue with those books is there's so many like case studies where they're like, you know, Ford, blah, 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 did this and then this and then this and this and this and this. And this is why. And you're like, oh, my God, just tell me the lessons. Just tell me how to apply them to my life. I don't want to hear all of these case studies and stuff. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but it's like a snooze.
I don't like reading fiction. I only like reading nonfiction.
Oh, I love this dynamic. We have a fiction versus nonfiction.
I like audiobooks of nonfiction.
Yeah.
But
Matt loves to, like, you love a good plot, some good characters, mm-hmm. like, I want to be invested in the story, a real page turner. Like,
right.
It's almost like entertainment, right? It's like watching a movie. For me, reading books is like, I want to be learning something. Yeah, I want to be acquiring.
Yeah.
And when I'm reading fiction, I know it's a little silly, but like, I'm just like, I'm just reading a bunch of lies. Like, this didn't happen.
Come on,
like you're over the first page of Harry Potter, and it's like, there was a wizard named Harry. And it's like, no, there wasn't. Like, I'm like, no, this is not true. I don't want to read a book of lies. This didn't happen.
Santa's not real. Wizards are not real.
It's your imagination.
But no, but then I'll read a book on like behavioral economics of like why the brain, you know.
Boring.
but it's also like reinforcing stuff that you kind of already know, but it's good to like remember, like, yeah, you should remember people's names, or like the reason why people get frustrated is because they have expectations, and all of sadness in life comes from the variance between the expectations and reality. So if you lower your expectations or set them properly, you'll be happier. And it's like, oh, interesting. Like, I just gained my life became better because I read that.
This is why I talk to you, because then I'll learn
all these
things.
Just learn
this
all
is
the
my
things.
Yeah, this is my
true.
Cliff notes right here.
And then I'll just,
but here's the question, because I want to get back into reading fiction books. Get back to, like, as if I've been reading fiction books my life. I want to get into fiction books because I feel like just reading a story that is just complex and interesting can be inspiring in its own ways.
Yes.
Like, do you feel, don't you feel like, I'm like saying like as if again, like I would know, but do you feel like reading fiction books like brings joy into your life and inspiration? And like, I don't know, like a real, like I think about this with TV shows. Like right now, Phineas and I are watching Handmaid's Tale.
Oh.
We're very,
what season are you on?
We just finished the first season. Like,
oh,
we are
y'all got a ways to go. And you can't binge that show.
No, we're taking a big break. It's been like a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks since we finished the first season. And we've been waiting to start the second.
Go easy on yourself. Because that, like, it's a heavy show, right?
I know. It's heavy. It's very, very heavy. But we think about it often. And I love being consumed by like a story and being like, oh my God, why would they choose that? Or like, why, like, or just thinking about like a character's motives, right?
Yeah. I like it when it's challenging and when it's not too challenging, but when it's just really well written, where the details in between the action and the dialogue is just fascinating on how they're describing what somebody is wearing and what the setting looks like.
Right.
I get really oozy about that.
I like short stories, nonfiction or fiction short stories, because then like when you start a book, it's like a commitment, right? So it's like you're going to spend 2 weeks reading a book. I will recommend to you Kurt Vonnegut, fantastic writer. He has a book of short stories called Welcome to the Monkey House.
How many pages is each story?
Anywhere from like 10 to like 30 pages per story.
Okay.
And they're incredible stories. And I think that that's like what I like about it too. It's like you think about, oh, why would they do this? Or like, because the stories are essentially human, but I just like getting the distilled final version of like, here's why your brain works this way.
And this is why we want the self-help version that's short. I want short stories version of a
self-help books.
That's what I want.
Maybe you should write that.
Oh my God. I don't know.
I'll give you some recommendations after this.
The Claudia Saluski method for success.
Oh my gosh.
Now, it's not every day we have someone in the seat who is a member of the Marvel Universe.
Oh my gosh.
You were in an episode of Marvel's Runaways.
I was.
The show on Hulu.
I was.
And it's just cool looking you up, and your character is in like the Wiki Marvel Universe. So I guess my question is, you know, who is your favorite Marvel character?
Okay, I recently watched Ant-Man, and I was fascinated. I loved it. I don't know why. The concept of being so tiny, teeny tiny, I died for it. There's a video, Phineas recorded a video of me watching it, and it like, it panned from the TV to me, and this was literally me.
Because it goes from like big to small, and big to small, it changes
so
like the perspective
creative.
Of
and
everything.
He's like falling through gutters and gates and all these things.
I haven't seen Ant-Man. What is the power of being small? What can you do? Why is that beneficial?
Okay, so here's, I'll tell you. Okay, so he puts on this suit and you press the button and it shrinks you to the size of an ant.
So you're invisible.
But how is that a benefit? What can you do?
But you still have the strength of your original size.
Oh,
so that's the difference.
So
basically,
punch one in the forehead and then like fall down.
So I forgot which movie, but like there's this whole sort of like conversation on the internet where they're like, well, why didn't Ant-Man just shrink down super small, crawl into Thor's like butthole, or like who was the villain again?
Thanos.
Yeah. Why didn't he just crawl into his butthole and then make himself life size again, and then he would have exploded. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many ways that like Ant-Man could have saved the day. But the reason why it's great, yeah, because he basically turns invisible. He gets so small, and then he's got the same speed and the same strength as a human being. And so he just like runs up and he fucking can punch you in the ear, but it's like as strong as a human being. And so you get knocked out and you don't even know where it's coming from.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
I didn't know how Ant-Man was
beneficial. I actually haven't even like seen it. But I've seen Ant-Man and like the other ones. I'm really bad about the Avengers and
Paul
the Marvel
in a new
universe.
Movie called Shrink too, so he's really all about getting small.
Wait, that was not that new, right?
It's not out yet. It's like a new movie with Will Ferrell. He plays a shrink. Not an actual shrink, but he plays, Paul Rudd plays, but it's
like
funny that
therapist.
Like he's
like
an Ant-Man and then he's in a movie called Shrink, but you are in the Marvel Universe.
Ant-Man.
I guess my favorite. Spider-Man, come on. Spider-Man. Like, I don't know. Ant-Man. Like, I just don't know.
But since you're technically part of the Marvel Universe,
okay,
does that rule out you ever potentially being in the Marvel Universe as an actual superhero in the future?
No, I think because the role I played was just in one episode, and it was like the last episode of the final season,
it's so teeny tiny.
I had like three scenes. I think it probably would not rule me out for any of that. I hope. Could you imagine? Right. They were like, you're pinned as this character forever.
And I think there are some people in the Marvel Universe, big ones, who have had minor roles in other movies, So I don't think
I would love if you got invited to Comic-Con for just being that character at a booth. And
everyone's like, what?
I was in that one episode of The Runaways.
Yeah, exactly. That was very fun for people to tweet and be like, I'm sorry, what? Like, I've been binging this show that I love and you pop out of nowhere. That was great.
Hope you guys are enjoying this conversation with Claudia. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor.
So the summer is now in full swing and showing very welcoming signs of a normal life ahead. You can now go to the movies, say hi to your neighbor, and go to the post office. Okay, I mean, I guess not all signs of normal life are that exciting. But with Stamps.com, you can skip trips to the post office and save money on postage.
Mail and ship anytime, anywhere, straight from your computer. You can send letters, ship packages, and pay less.
A lot less, with discounted rates on USPS and UPS. Stamps.com save businesses thousands of hours and tons of money on postage every year.
Stamps.com brings U.S. Postal and UPS service straight to your computer. Print U.S. official postage right from your computer. You don't need to get any fancy equipment. You can do it all from home.
All you need is a computer and a standard printer. And once your mail is ready, you schedule a pickup or drop-off. It's that simple.
They offer deals you can't get anywhere else, like up to 40% off USPS and up to 66% on UPS.
And with their switch and save feature, you can compare carriers and get the best rates every time.
Stop wasting time going to the post office and go to stamps.com instead.
There's no risk at all. And with our promo code HOOT, H-O-O-T, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial.
Plus free postage and a digital scale.
No long-term commitments or contracts.
Just go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and use promo code HOOT, H-O-O-T.
That is stamps.com, promo code HOOT.
Stamps.com, never go to the post office again. And now, back to the episode.
Well, yeah, Mike, I would like to hear a question that you prepared for this afternoon. Yeah, I'd like to hear something that you've prepared.
Okay, so...
Mike always asks the really good questions.
Does he?
Where I'm always like, I wanted to say that.
You've been killing it, though.
Thanks. You know, I've come a long way since MTV Snowglobe. Thank you, Claudia.
Okay, so you obviously wear many hats and have done many things. Mm-hmm. There's two ways to ask this question, depending on how you want to answer it. Mm-hmm. How do you define yourself? If so, and how do you want to define yourself? Because, like, I think that you're more than just a YouTuber. I think that you're not just an actress. So, like, my question is, when Claudia Saluski wakes up in the morning and goes to bed at night, how do you, what is, like, the...
She's right here.
I'm kidding.
I think when she wakes up,
yeah,
she really thinks.
And not saying to label yourself, but is there like a, like, do you think, okay, I'm a YouTuber, so I'm going to be doing my YouTube stuff, and like the acting stuff is like a bonus, or do you consider yourself an actor who's doing, like, what is the, what is the story of who you are to yourself?
Right now, the thing that takes up most of, well, I shouldn't even say takes up most of my time, because auditions are constantly always happening, but YouTube is a significant part of obviously my job right now. And so at least from the outside, I'm definitely, I feel like, mostly viewed as YouTuber, content creator slash influencer. For some reason, when I think influencer, I think like someone who's only based on like Instagram. I don't know. Even though I definitely like fall under similar content as influencers, anyone who's listening to this is like, she's an influencer. What is she talking about? But I feel like there's some sort of separation that I feel within myself with that word. I don't know. So I like to say content creator. But I think for me, because things on the internet and trends and different platforms like change so fast, especially this past year, like I've been kind of like focusing on different things that I cannot talk about with you guys today. Right now I'm building those blocks and making decisions that I hope can sort of live out longer than my YouTube channel, because I think also for me, even if YouTube is as around as it is right now in like 10 years, when I think about, you know, raising a family and having kids, I don't think I'm going to want to really be putting like my kids online. I don't think there's like anything wrong with it. Like, so many family channels have found so much success with that, and are documenting, you know, so much of their lives. And if they're doing it the right way, then that's amazing. Like, I love how much I've documented of my life and having those memories. But I think for me, like, since I've been doing this for so long, that is the point where I would love to get some of that privacy back and sort of have that on my own terms in terms of like what's being put out there. And so I think that's like a choice I'll probably make, is to slow down on YouTube, especially when I have kids. So I think, like, to answer your question, like, later down the line, the things that I really want to continue focusing on is, like, I love acting so much. You know, so like I was saying earlier, so much of my job is working alone. So working on set with an entire crew and cast members is so fulfilling. You get to meet so many interesting people, and just, yeah, like being like a part of something. I don't know. It's really exciting. There's like more, there's more mystery to it, and more like there's more room for it to turn into something that you would have never thought it would have. You know, there's like some limitation to a YouTube video and sort of like getting into the groove of like, well, this is how I edit. And well, this is how I set up my shots. And this is usually what my videos are
about.
You have
the system in place. There's not that much room for something, you know, spontaneous.
A lot of it can feel very like repetitive or very autopilot. And so right now, like that, the thing I'm most fascinated with is like working alongside other people, so, which is what acting brings. And then, yeah, like, you know, just maybe like starting a business, or like, I don't know, just doing some things that still allow me to have, you know, that creative freedom, because that's something that I don't take for granted. I recognize how much creative freedom we have as like, as people that get to put out content online.
Yeah,
like,
you don't need to run it by the PR department or the marketing team.
I know. I mean, truly, like, hearing so many actor friends in my life be like, no, you don't understand, like, what you have is so good, you get to do it as much as you want, and you get to talk about whatever you want. And so I don't ever take that for granted. And I think, like, whatever that transition would be, if there's going to be one, it's going to be gradual, because it all feeds into the same bucket. I truly feel like, you know what I mean, at these times, like, everything is crossing over, and so many traditional actors are making YouTube channels and stuff. So it's like, I feel like it's all kind of becoming one, and that sort of like negative stigma of like an internet person getting into acting is sort of dissolving. I think there was like really a moment in time where like so many were getting into it, and so there was a lot of good and like a lot of bad, you know. And so I think, like, my hope is that that's sort of dissolving a little bit as everything's crossing over. And this is suddenly the longest answer in the entire world. well, I'm like, I don't know.
you're just yourself. You're one of a kind. You're doing things that, sure, some people can do this, some people can do that, but the idea of like labeling yourself is not something I thought you were going to do. So the answer of like, I'm doing this and I enjoy this. And you're thinking like, it's all fluid. There's nothing's definitive. Mm-hmm. You want to have the options to explore your own creativity, explore your own wants and your own opportunities. And some things can be great and others can be a one-off and starting a business and whatever else you want to do.
Yeah. I think you should have answered your own question for me, because that answer was like way more concise, way more accurate, way more.
Well,
that was perfect. No, that was so perfect. But I think the thing I'll add on top of that is just like, the mentality I've tried to always just like hold up to is whatever I am doing, I want to care and I just want to put everything into it. Because first of all, why not? You know what I mean? That's the most, I find the most satisfaction and fulfillment from just like really actually trying my best with everything that I do. Because if you don't, then how are you going to know what you really enjoy and what you're really meant for? Because if you kind of half-ass something, you're going to leave it being like, well, I guess that wasn't for me, but I don't know. I also like was on my phone the whole time. So like maybe if I had done, you know,
I like the phrase, the way you do anything is the way that you do everything.
Yeah.
And so the way that you do anything is always the way that you do everything, which is 100% and like putting in the effort and making it count. And
but then that makes me feel like,
are we having an existential moment
real quick? Yeah, a little bit, Mike.
Is this a little bit?
The way you do anything is the way you do everything.
A little crises right now.
You want to talk through this, Matt?
No, I'm a changed man now after this.
This is turning into a therapy session.
Well, you are a pretty inspiring person, Claudia, for, you know, the audience that you have, but also to us, the people in your life. You know, you're pretty...
You're such a good friend.
Oh
and, we, and we still haven't, I know we haven't seen each other in a long time.
I know. I'm like, I'm not that great of a friend. But then again, listen, we just came out of a pandemic.
Yeah, this is no...
Now, like...
Yeah.
We're getting back to it.
You're a real one.
Now we're here.
Now, do you have anything you want to share to let the people know? I mean, I know you have a movie that will eventually be coming out, but anything that you're working on?
The YouTube channel, the Instagram, the occasional TikToks. Really need to get more into that. You know, that's really where the market is. But, you know, I'm just like, it's being stubborn for no reason.
I know.
Eventually, maybe I'll try a little bit more. But that's it for now. But thank you guys for having me so much. This was so fun.
And thank you for coming by.
I love any excuse to get to sit down and chat with you guys and have you guys like by myself. Luxury.
Well, good. But I'm glad you came by and we have to hang out soon, sometime soon.
Yes, please.
It's such a nice breath of fresh air whenever Claudia's around.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You guys asked me.
Usually it's just pretty cloudy. Life's not that good when Claudia's not around, man.
But I'm saying, like, the past year, you've seen, like, basically our same, you know, small group of friends. And it's just like, wow, we have other friends. Like, they're really good people that we've been fortunate to have in our lives. And now you're back.
Yeah. You guys asked, and I was, like, already on my way over. I've been actually on my way over for the last, like, 3 weeks. I don't know if you guys know this, but I just drove really slowly and just timed it out. I've been, like, postmating to the window. Like, I've just been, like, so excited and ready for this moment. So thank you guys finally.
I'm glad we happened.
Letting me into the house.
I'm glad we made it happen. I'm glad we happened. All right, guys. I hope that you have a great day, a great week. Claudia Saluski, ladies and gentlemen.
The boys, ladies and gentlemen.
Us. Who the hell is Matt King and Mike Sheffield?